Hey, this is Ari Gold, and when I'm not out promoting my album Transport Systems, I listen to Feast of Fools.
The Feast of Fools Gay Fun Show is brought to you by gorgeous support of handsome, fabulous, beautiful, and intelligent listeners just like you.
Without your support, we really couldn't do this show, so please visit feastoffools.net, make a donation, buy a t-shirt, because we can't do this show without your help.
Your financial contributions mean the world to us. Why? Because without you,
we're nothing.
Wrong. You say that I'm too much when I know I'm enough. You can try to break my spirit, but I'm made of tough stuff. Oh, so killer. Truth faker. I know that your heart must have been broken before. But try to bring me down, will only break it once more. Cause when you look at me, you only see yourself. So take a good look, baby, cause you won't see no one else. Oh, so killer.
The podcast has landed. Set your phasers on fabulous. It's the Feast of Fools. On today's show, we're talking to Independent Music Award winner Ari Gold, who just came out with his brand new album, Transport Systems.
As a child, Ari sang on the Cabbage Patch Kids album, on the Gem and the Holograms TV show, and with legendary Motown diva, Diana Ross.
Today, Ari is an openly gay Jewish pop star whose music consistently hits the top of the pop charts with gay and lesbian audiences.
Listen as we talk with Ari about the costs and benefits of being a homofessional gay celebrity.
Finding fulfillment in your work.
His military fetish.
And playing a Jewish pimp that gets smacked around by RuPaul in the movie Star Booty. All this and more on today's show. I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is the music of Ari Gold. The song Soul Killer from his album Transport Systems is available on our website, feastoffools.net.
Stay tuned.
Okay, ready?
What?
Stay together.
Stay tuned.
Try to shoot me down. I gotta keep moving on, pressing on, keep on keeping on.
Hello?
Hi, is this Ari Gold?
This is he.
This is Fausto Furnos.
And Mark Fillion from the Feast of Fools podcast. How are you today?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well.
We're doing fantastic. Are you comfy?
I'm pretty comfy, yeah.
What are you wearing?
You don't want to know.
Really?
Why not?
Because it's not much.
Oh, really?
You do want to know.
I do want to know.
Ari's one of those guys that hangs around his house wearing his underwear, and his roommate, his straight roommate, looks at him longingly.
Actually, that was college, but
where'd you go to college?
I went to NYU.
Oh.
But who doesn't hang around their house in their underwear?
I'm in my underwear right now, too.
Yeah, we live in Chicago, so it's a little chilly here, so I usually like to wear a silk robe.
Mine are long underwear,
really?
Yes.
You're a robe guy?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in New York, so it's cold here, too, but they give a lot of heat in my building because I have a lot of elderly people in my building, so.
And because you're so hot, you're kind of like the gay Justin Timberlake, so, you know, that you just give off that heat naturally.
I thought Justin Timberlake was the straight Ari Gold.
Oh.
Is that how it goes?
Do you know something we don't?
He said the straight Ari Gold. It's just a reverse.
Oh, I see.
He's not saying he's gay.
Oh, so I thought, you know, him and Lance Bass had a little action.
I think Lance had a little crush on him, yes.
Well, you know what they say, a few drinks later and...
Well, our guest today is Ari Gold, and we're talking with you about your brand new album, Transport Systems. All systems go. Tell me about your new album.
Well, I'm very proud of this album. I definitely feel like it's my best work to date. And it's the first time I got to really conceive of a whole album from beginning to end, which was really exciting for me. And I really just went there lyrically and musically and just with the subject matter and the overall theme of the album. I really just went there, no holds barred.
You went there? Well, I really appreciate the fact that you had some live instrumentation in the album.
Yeah, I always try to mix it up and include a little bit of some live musicianship along with the electronic stuff. But even electronic stuff, I worked with a producer named Joe Hogue, and even if you're getting a piano sound out of a synthesizer, you still have to know how to play it. Even with live stuff, there's ways to chop it up, and it's all manipulated at this point.
Are you saying that your voice is manipulated? But your voice is, you're like a long time, singer. You were a child singer, and you you were sort of made a career for yourself as a kid, but you've been singing forever.
Yes, I was. Been singing professionally since I was six. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that I don't also manipulate my voice in the studio. I love that stuff. You listen to Mary J. Blige album there are plenty of singers who are good, great singers, but when you're recording an album, you might want to have a certain kind of sound to the vocal. When you're recording something, that's the difference between a record and live. So you have to, in order to make it sound like it's maybe in your ear, you actually, or in order to make it sound live, you actually have to affect it. It's an odd thing in recording, but it's cool. And I sometimes love stuff that sounds fake.
Well, it certainly is popular.
The Melodyne plugin is your best friend. Or is that what you're saying?
What's the Melodyne plugin? What is that?
Well, when you sing my buddy, it makes you sound like Ari Gold.
Because you actually did sing my buddy, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That's you in the commercial.
Well, my buddy is a boy. It's a toy for boys.
It's a doll that was marketed towards boys, and yes, it had a very gay overtones.
They wouldn't have to feel like they were.
How old were you when you recorded that?
Oh God, I don't remember. Probably, I was around 12 or something like that.
That's probably when you were first getting your inklings that you were gay, I would assume, as most people kind of do around 12 or 13.
Oh no, I got my inklings way before that.
So you knew you were gay.
I was obsessed with The Wizard of Oz when I was like 4 or 5 years old.
But as a child,
how did that
make you
think you were gay though?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How did that make you think you were gay?
Well, it's a process and it's a journey. And, I'm still figuring out what exactly that means, really, but, it's like levels of consciousness and awareness. I wasn't really sexual until,
My Buddy came out. Did they give you a free My Buddy
doll? Yeah.
Doll?
They rarely gave me free toys for any of the commercials that I did. I remember one time I did a commercial for Hansel and Gretel Ham, and we were kosher. A family was kosher, so we did get like a bunch of Hansel and Gretel Ham like bags and ice. Like to keep the ham fresh.
Sure. Something. And what'd you do with the ham? You gave it away?
We didn't get ham.
Oh.
But yeah, we would have given it away. We would have burned it or something.
Poison.
I never even saw ham when I was a kid.
Now, Ari, your resume reads like a 1980s retro fetishist web blog. you sang on Gem and the Holograms album, which is the rock and roll doll. What?
On the TV cartoon. It wasn't an album. It was.
Oh, and you were actually on the television show, The Voice. You did the boyfriend, or what voice did you do?
No, I actually played an 8-year-old Vietnamese girl.
Oh, haven't we all? Haven't we all?
Haven't we all? You were on the Cabbage Patch Kids album?
Yes, I was on that album, two albums actually. I played I played a tomboy, also a girl. I did a lot of girl voices when I was young, and yet another level of consciousness as far as my awareness.
I mean, as a young boy, and they say, we're going to have you read these lines, but it says she, referring to herself. Did it bother you that they were
channeling Larry King, Faust?
Oh no, I absolutely loved it. It was a chance to act like a girl, and it was completely sanctioned and okay by adults.
Didn't they raise an eyebrow or something?
He's enjoying it a little bit.
Are they like it doesn't matter because little boys sound like little girls?
I mean, especially when it was a tomboy, you know, in fact, like, you know, I kind of had to butch it up for that role.
And so that led you to working on Diana Ross's album.
Yes, I sang back up on the album Swept Away.
Now, is she like a lot of list stars? Were you allowed to make eye contact with her?
Not only did we make eye contact, but she took us all to the bathroom and waited for each of us, you know, all the kids to take turns going to the bathroom, in which she told us while we were sitting on the floor with her, that her favorite song was the song that I sang for Cabbage Patch Kids. So where does
a young gay
pop star go from there?
I know.
Wait. What song was it? Yeah. What song was it?
The song is called Get Back Home, and I sang it with Tom Chapin's, I think it's his daughter. I always get this mixed up. She'll kill me. She's actually the recording artist, Jen Chapin, who's great. It was a duet that we sang together called Get Back Home.
That's fantastic. And so you said
Anna Ross said it was her favorite song and she wanted to cover it. I swear.
That would be actually good.
I wonder if she ever did. Probably not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you could turn to her and say, you know, my favorite song is When I Think of Hope from The Wiz. And then you stood up before going to the bathroom and sang a duet. That's how it went.
Home is a great song.
It is a great song. Mm-hmm. Now, you call yourself a homofessional gay celebrity, which is something hard to pronounce.
And that's getting a lot of sexual innuendos in there, right? What do you mean by homosexual gay celebrity?
It just means that I'm a professional gay celebrity.
And what does that entail, being a professional gay celebrity?
Well, it's just a very funny. It's an interesting kind of fame, you know, because, you know, on some level, I get to do a lot of, you know, amazing things and glamorous and fabulous, and then but it's very particular. It's a very particular.
It's a niche, in a way, because you're always at the pride events or the gay clubs and gay events.
Yes, that is true. And somebody's got to do it, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, is there any cost to being as out as you are? Do you feel like you would have a bigger career? I'm sure people have given you advice not to be as out.
Yeah, many industry people have told me to go into the closet, or big producers said they would make me a star if I went into the closet. You know, this is the career that I chose, and I have no regrets at all, because to me, there has to be a reason. There has to be a reason why I do what I do and make the art that I make. And there, you know, we need to see ourselves reflected back to us in a real way. And we need people who aren't afraid to do that and who are willing to really speak to our experiences. And I do ultimately believe that our lives and experiences are relatable and meaningful to everybody. And that's been proven in other art forms. It's just, for some reason, music is the last frontier. Mm.
But what do you say to, like, other musicians that may be doing better financially or have more lucrative careers, and they attribute it to being in the closet?
I want, you know, if they are gay and in the closet, I mean, I wonder, having more money in the bank, I wonder if that's really making them happy. And, you know, I mean, and I wonder how fulfilled they are in their art. I mean, everybody has to make their own choices. And for me personally, I would not be fulfilled. There'd be no point in just making music if there wasn't something that I wanted to say. And, you know, we're still living in a time in which gay people are still fighting for their rights. There's still homophobia out there. Kids still are growing up thinking that it's not okay to be gay, and that needs to change. So I'm just feel very grateful to be able to do what I do and actually help make a change and make that difference.
Well, because if you want to make money, you can always become an investment banker. I mean,
well, you're assuming that I don't make money.
Well, I'm saying in terms of if you
it's
really want to
money,
yeah,
because
some
the money.
It's not about the money. It's about being fulfilling yourself and being happy in your mm-hmm. career and your life choices.
Yeah, I'm an artist.
Because some people just get into music because they feel like they have no other options,
or they feel they're going to strike it rich.
Well, I think the problem is a lot of people just want to be famous for famous sake. Mm-hmm. And to me, if you're going to be in that position of being out there in the public and famous or a celebrity, there should be a reason that you should want to affect people, and you should want to make the world a better place.
Well, let's get back to your album Transport Systems mm-hmm. and the military theme.
What's with that? Do you have a military fetish, Ari? Are you trying to support the troops, or just, you know, get in
well,
bed with them?
Well, I support the troops, most people can agree that military is hot. There's no question about
that.
Well,
you certainly look like you're about to drop a load on Baghdad.
Oh, God.
If you know what I mean.
But the album cover, it's not just military, it's sort of futuristic, and to me, like, it was just such a perfect shot, because I looked at it and it seemed like the soldier had just heard that the war was over. And I thought that was really great, because that is what we all want right now. We are in a war, and we do want the war to be over. But as far as what it relates to in the album, it's the war that we have, you know, that gay people have fighting for our rights, the war that we have with ourselves to accept who we are for ourselves and let go of some of that shame, and to move forward into a better place and a better time.
It's kind of interesting, the war that we have with ourselves. How do we enlist troops for that?
Well, I think that's a big part of what the album is about. Is about some of that internalized shame and some of the internalized pain that a lot of us carry with us from our childhoods, and feeling like it wasn't okay to be gay and that whole thing. And I really wanted to talk about that. And
well, how many more albums do you have to put out before people get okay with being gay? You know,
that's a great question.
You're funny, Boston.
That's funny.
I mean, what is your favorite song from this album? Because there's some really great tracks. Let's play some of that.
You're going to play them right now?
We'll play part of it.
Oh, well, I love the single Where the Music Takes You, and that's sort of a theme for my life, because I really just go where the music takes me, and that's what I would say when people would ask me, what do I do? And and it's just one of those be true to yourself, feel good type of songs, and it's a timeless message. And it actually just won the grand prize of the USA Songwriting Competition out of 33,000.
Yay!
Way.
You go, girl!
Thank
Let's
you.
Listen to that. Where the Music Takes You. And that is Where the Music Takes You, featuring Sasha Allen. Who's the vocalist, I guess, right?
Yeah, she's a guest, the featured artist on the song, and she won one of the finalists on VH1's Born to Diva, and she was in that indie cult hit movie Camp, and she's just a very talented singer, and I knew her voice because I knew her, and I really wanted that voice on the album.
Well, it sounds fantastic. Now, you said in an interview in the past that it's funny. Sometimes people have a much easier time worshiping someone like Madonna than to just be themselves. What is our fascination with some gay men have with their divas, that they love their divas, but it's really hard for them to connect to other people, to have friends?
Well, I mean, there's a long history of gay men and their divas, and I think that mm-hmm. that history comes from the history of the closet and not being able to be open about who we are. And so the only choice that we had was to look at the women that were out there, because, I mean, there's a lot of theories you can have on it. I mean, women are attracted to men, or straight women at least, so, mm-hmm. so that's why, you know, we look at them because they reflect our desires, and you know, strong women and women also, there's also a history of oppression of women, and so we could relate to that as well. So we didn't really have a choice other than to look at our divas and do that. So it comes from a very long tradition, and I think only now we're starting to figure out how to look at ourselves in that same way, and to, you know, be fans of ourselves.
But it almost becomes a situation where I was observed in certain people that it's almost unhealthy. Yeah, because it's almost like trying to create a surrogate mother for some of these guys, and instead of actually having a physical healthy relationship with a person, they're having a relationship with somebody that they can't really meet, you know. And I, you know, as much as fans are wonderful things to have and wonderful people, I encourage all of you to not worship Mark, me, or Ari, or Diana Ross, or Cyndi Lauper, or whatever, but to actually form healthy relationships with the people around you.
Yeah, well, that's also just part of celebrity culture and our country's obsession with celebrities and all that stuff. I mean, it's definitely, I think, gone to an all new time high.
I mean, are there any times that you get depressed because, like, the song or the album didn't go as well as you hoped it would, or and you want to just shave your hair off or go on a drinking binge and take your clothes off and have the paparazzi
or
attack
be like
you?
Amy Winehouse today,
well,
smoking,
I mean,
crack.
I definitely have my moods, but I mean for this current album and really all the albums that I put out, I mean, I couldn't have been happier with how things went, and mm-hmm. I was so grateful to have the response, because I didn't necessarily expect the positive response that I got, and really, I don't go crazy like Britney Spears because I feel like I am a part of every single thing that happens to my career. I'm mm-hmm. in control of everything that happens to my career. And I haven't, I mean, first of all, let's just say that, you know, she started at a really young age.
But so did you.
Yeah, but I wasn't famous at a young age.
Famous for My Buddy, and you were hanging out with Diana Ross.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not famous.
That's different.
I could walk the streets without the paparazzi following me. So, and I could still walk the streets without the paparazzi following me, and she hasn't been able to do that for many, many, many years since she was a little kid, and I think that she also doesn't understand why she is as famous as she is, because there was so much money and all these people who worked to make Britney Spears Britney Spears. She didn't really do it, which isn't to take away from the stuff that she did, but, you know, it requires a huge company and
it's an industry
of people to make someone like that as famous as they are. And for me, it's like everything that I've achieved, I really feel like I've done it from hard work. I'm there for every step of the way, and so I understand all the awards and rewards mm-hmm. and accolades that I get. It feels earned, I feel more grateful because of that.
And you win awards all the time. I mean, this past year you've won tons of them. You've got the 2007 Independent Music Awards for Best R&B Song. You've got that. No, but I wanted to ask you, how does it make you...
Ari Gold Best Emerging Artist of 2007, too.
Which I think is kind of interesting because you've been in the business for how long? Emerging Artist. Were you kind of like, what?
Well, you know, actually, my brother plays with the band Sounds of Wayne. And they,
okay.
They,
oh,
they
really?
Were, Yeah.
They oh,
were,
wow, wonderful.
They were on their, like, third or fourth album when they were nominated for Best New Artist in the Grammys.
Oh,
so
really?
Those things happen all the time, and it's just like, you know, it's. I mean, I'm always emerging. I'll be emerging when I'm 80.
Right. Fountains of Wayne, that was the Stacey's Mom song, right? Is that what their big hit was?
Yeah, they sang that song.
Oh, I love that song. My friend Stacey loved it, too. I'd sing it to her, and she'd get mad.
Now you were,
Isn't Amy Winehouse also is nominated for Best New Artist for Grammy, and this is her second album, isn't it?
Poor Amy. You saw that her smoking that crack video.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's hot. It's just online today,
It's just online. Hit the internet today.
She's living in squalor, and she's, you know, yelling at her friends. And just,
was she smoking crack?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she was smoking something out of what appears to be a crack pipe.
Wow.
So. I mean, you know, you have some friends and you've seen struggle with drug use and
well,
depression.
I have a song on my album called Feeding the Fire, which is about crystal meth addiction and seeing you know, friends of mine really struggle with that drug and the disease and substance.
Because you're right there at the front lines, because you perform in all these gay clubs in New York and L.A. and Palm Springs. And, I mean, how do you see meth still around? Is it still a big problem for us?
I mean, it's definitely still around, and I'm sure it's still a big problem. I mean, thankfully, right now in my life, it's not. I don't see it affecting anyone too badly, but I have in the past. But I'm sure it still does, and there's definitely, I'm sure, a lot of work that still needs to be done as far as creating awareness and getting people the help that they need.
But Ari, let's assume that you were friends with someone like Amy Winehouse, and you go to their house and says, Amy, it's time to record that track on the album. And she's like, one second, Ari, I just got to take a hit from my pipe.
Okay.
What do you say to her? What would you say if I was on meth right now?
Actually, just take a
maybe
listen,
I am. But.
Take a listen to Feeding the Fire and read the lyrics.
Oh, so you want me to listen to your music?
Exactly.
That would be maybe
nice.
That'll make me want to.
It would be nice.
But I mean, in what words would you? How would you tell a friend? It's like, look, I'm really concerned about you.
I mean, I have told friends that, you know, I have told friends that, and I've done interventions and alerted the people around them. I mean, the best sometimes, I guess, the only choice is to make sure that everybody around them, all the people close to them, are aware of what's happening. And I mean, I've never had to physically drag somebody to rehab, which I guess happens too. But there also is a point in which, you know, there's a certain point in which when you're a friend, you know, I mean, I guess it depends on how close you are and what your role is in that person's life, but it's a very tough issue. But there's a point in which, you know, for me, I had to separate and let it go, because there's only so much you can do at a certain point, because a person has to help themselves, really, and if they're not ready or willing to help themselves, there's only so much you can do.
Well, I know a lot of your celebrity friends are listening to this interview are getting a little bit nervous, like RuPaul, Boy George, the cartoonist Joe Phillips.
They're all wonderful people.
They're wonderful people.
Speaking of them.
No, I know that. But you know they might be, they're like a little bit nervous.
I think Rue is pretty open about, Rue's been sober for quite a while, actually. Mm-hmm. So.
And you guys are good friends. She describes you as a good friend of hers.
Yes, Rue's. Mm-hmm.
You were in Star Booty.
Yes, my
Star
Booty.
One of my favorite movies of all time now.
In a pair of assless chaps. For the world to see. only Rue could make me do that.
Well, what was your character in Star Booty?
Tyrone. What was his last name? It was like Silverberg or something.
Mm-hmm.
I played a Jewish pimp.
Now, what did you think that when you were actually taping Star Booty? Like, what did you guys say? Oh, we're just gonna clown around with the video camera that weekend and.
I think that stuff was planned out.
I mean, you know, it was definitely low budge, but Rue, you know, they had their can I say shit on a podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
They had their shit together. You know, they had the script was written and they knew exactly what to do. Although we didn't really have the budget or time to choreograph the fight sequence. And so I think they had to really kind of play around with him in editing.
Oh, so nobody got hurt? You didn't like smack RuPaul in the face a couple of times?
Well, I was the one who was really beat. I mean, come on, me against RuPaul. Who do you think's gonna win? Not me.
But you know what, though? Sometimes the thing is, the taller they are, the easier they are to knock down.
You know,
they're like
you kick those
redwoods.
Legs out from underneath them.
Yeah, the heels break easily. You know. Now your family's mostly Orthodox Jews, still, right? Yeah.
My parents are still Orthodox.
And they, yet they're involved in PFLAG.
They're not involved in PFLAG, no.
No? Oh, okay. No. I was reading it in an interview. I misunderstood.
I mean, they've gone to different groups and, you know, parents of gay and lesbian people. And, I mean, they're always at my shows.
No matter what, how skanky the venue may be.
That is very true. I have to convince them to stay away. I'm like, you know what, maybe this one at 2 in the morning at the Cock, you don't really need to come to.
Isn't that the skankiest bar in New York? Is that still around? I thought they closed it.
Still around.
It's still around.
And you perform.
Right.
What happens when you go to perform in like a really, you know, a bar where, or a venue that, you know, the floors haven't been mopped and the sound system's really bad and you're like, oh, what did my agent get me into? How do you make the best of a bad scene?
Well, I remember I did a show in L.A. At a bar there, and I had to stand on this platform that literally, if I moved my feet, the whole thing would have toppled over. So I had to be completely stationary on my feet.
you have to get a rider like Lady Bunny does. I think she's got a rider that says the stage has to support at least 400 pounds of weight, I think is what it says. Yeah. And it can't be made out of milk crates.
Well, mine doesn't have to be nearly as much as 400 pounds. So.
Well, that's, you know, it should be easy.
If you're jumping around, you have a backup dancers and
but
stuff.
But, you know, it's all about connecting to the audience and just giving out your energy. And, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, the better the venue and the better, the more, you know, you have to play with as far as good sound and good lighting and rehearsal. And if I have my band with me, you know, the better I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's sometimes people judge you by, they don't know how to look past what's there. So, you know, it's like Madonna, it's like she's got a lot of bells and whistles when she goes out and she performs somewhere, and what she would look like on a box that's about to topple over in some gay bar in the West Village. I mean, in West
right.
Hollywood. But
she's been there too, huh? But
you make the best of it, and you hope people just groove to the music, and people feel your energy, and that's what I try to do when I go out and perform. But I won't be performing on a box that's going to be toppled over anytime soon again.
Ari, what advice would you have to some of these celebrities or musicians that are in the soft closet, that they want to disassociate themselves from their art and their life experiences?
What advice do I have for them?
Yeah. They're listening right now, so you could talk to them right now directly. Say you.
Well, you mean like people who like say, you know, it's about the music and not my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
that whole thing. I mean, you know, it is about the music, but it's also about who you are as an artist and what you have to say. I mean, my sexuality it's not everything, but I feel like being gay impacts every aspect of who I am, other than being gay, whether it's my being Jewish or my being a New Yorker or my being a man or my being an uncle or, you know, a friend or
military
brother.
Fetishist.
What fetishist?
A military fetishist.
Okay, fine. I'll admit it.
Well, hey, Ari, where are you playing out these days? What's coming up in the next couple of weeks for you?
I think the next thing is we're going to Lake Tahoe. For Winterfest.
Oh, fancy.
How fabulous is that? Winterfest is like a big gay party in Lake, in where all the casinos are?
Yeah, Lake Tahoe, skiing, gay ski weekend.
So you can gamble on love.
I don't know if they gamble in Tahoe.
I think they do. I mean, Telly Savalas does commercials for it, so you know it's got to be.
Telly Savalas is dead.
Well, back in the day, you know, when he was alive, he used to do TV commercials, be like, "Who loves you, baby?" You could get the, you know, that club, and you could buy a little card and get into all the casinos.
Club Med.
Well, so we're putting together the tour right now, and you can always check out all the upcoming dates.
At arigold.com.
arigold.com. Ari, thank you so much for talking to us. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely fantastic. And I love your album.
Thank you very much.
It is fantastic. We recommend everybody right now go to iTunes and download this thing. Mm-hmm. It's Ari Gold Transport System.
Through our
and
website,
now we have the breakdown. Hey, hey, hey. It's the breakdown 2008.
Yeah.
And I don't have my
So this is 20 questions that we ask every guest, prince or pauper, thief or benefactor. So it's just don't think about it too much, just let us know. So what is your favorite color, Ari?
My favorite color is army green.
Why not? What's the best thing that's happened to you recently?
The best thing that happened to me recently is that I released my album, which I was very proud of, and just got a tremendous amount of positive feedback from, and continue to get positive feedback, and that just means a lot to me from the fans.
What's the worst thing that happened to you recently?
I threw my back out at the gym like 2 weeks ago.
Ouch. Hate when that happens.
Doing squats. No more squats.
Oh, we got to do squats so you can release those steroids. What is it?
Endorphins.
Endorphins. No, but the things that make your muscles grow.
It actually stimulates your endocrine.
Endocrine
squats. System to do squats. Because your body feels like it's under attack. And so it releases lots of chemicals and juices that help you be strong and healthy.
Anymore because it's not good to have the weight coming down from on top of you. I'm done with squats.
Reconsider. Just lighten the load, or even do it without any weights at all. Just going up and down with your hands on your hips. I highly recommend.
All right.
How do you like your toast?
My toast?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it crispy.
Okay. Where do you feel most comfortable and happy?
Probably in my house.
What's a song you heard recently you really enjoyed? That's not your own.
A song I like. The song Ghetto by Kelly Rowland. Oh, and I love this song on Keisha Cole's new album. What's it called? Give Me More. Yeah.
That's Britney.
No, not the Britney song. Give Me More. Did you do something? I forget how it goes.
Oh, that is fantastic.
No, Ari, did you have a pet when you were a kid? And what was its name?
I didn't have a pet when I was a kid, but my first pet was a bulldog named the Lady Bully J. Blige, named after Lady Bunny and Mary J. Blige.
Oh, that's hysterical.
I love that. And they look resembled both of them.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, what's your best feature?
My best feature is my heart.
Aw, and your tight six-pack abs. Where do you want to be in 5 years from now?
I want to continue to be making music and affecting people's lives and you know, healthy and having a loved romantic partner would be nice.
Do we see a sequel to Star Booty in the works?
Oh, you got to talk to Rue about that.
Oh, come on. You're tight with Rue. Make it happen.
I will try.
All right, what turns you on in another person?
I mean, everyone says this, but it really is like, you know, just confidence and being present and being able to, like, listen and have a conversation and obviously...
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
So if a really ugly purse comes into
Shut
your
up,
life...
Shut up, Fausto.
...that, you know, has pus
Ari,
marks...
Ari, if you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
You'd be surprised if you saw some of my past... my past boyfriends.
Well, Ooh. Ari, if you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
If I could change one thing about myself, what would it be? I would, you know, worry less. Yeah.
Okay.
Worry less.
Who made a difference in your life?
Who made a difference in my life?
Did a DJ save your life? Or?
I mean, obviously, my family made a big difference in my life, for better and for worse sometimes. Okay.
All right, what makes you mad?
Well, obviously, hate and prejudice and intolerance and that type of thing.
Ari, how can I get out of debt?
Wow, you got to talk to uber lesbian Susie Orman for that.
Ari, if your vagina wrote its own monologue, what would it say?
It would say that it's really tight and needs to be loosened up a little bit.
Wait, everybody together.
Ooh.
Hey, oh God, what is your greatest weakness?
My greatest weakness?
Yeah.
My greatest weakness is, you know, I'm weak for a hot guy makes me weak, and I hate that.
Okay. who does it, right?
Ari, do you play any musical instruments?
Well, other than the voice, not really. I mean, I've written on keyboards and mm-hmm. stuff, but I'd say the voice is the only instrument that I play.
Ari, what are you going to do after this interview? What are you doing after the show?
That's none of your business.
Why?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I think he started on it already. Ari, what happens to us when we die?
I definitely believe that our souls live on in some way.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Ari.
Thanks for having me.
And are you going to be at the GLBT Expo again this year?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I might not be.
Okay.
Well, if we're there and you're there, stop by
and
say
hi. We'll have a cup of coffee.
Oh, definitely.
We'll have a cup of coffee, and you can sign my Transport Systems album.
Okay, cool.
That I have here with your body revealed through the green of trench
pecs
coat
and abs.
Those pecs and abs. That's not Photoshop. That's the real deal.
No, it's not Photoshop.
Thank you so much, Ari.
Thank you, Ari.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Ari Gold lives in New York City, and his brand new album, Transport System, is available on our website, our beautiful website, feastoffools.net. Mm-hmm. So we're going to leave you here with Can I... Actually, let's play the Crystal Meth song.
Oh, yeah. Feeding the Fire?
Yep, that's the one. So we're going to play that here. That's right, babies. Ari Gold's going to make you feel good today with Feeding the Fire.
And he's going to get you off that meth.
That's right. Kids, don't do drugs.
Music has the power to heal.
Music is my anti-drug.
That's right.
Podcasting.
You know what else is a good anti-drug?
What is it?
A Feast of Fools t-shirt.
How come?
Because you can wear it, and you'll be so gorgeous, you'll be so beautiful, you'll be so handsome, you won't have to do drugs
beautiful. How could I possibly get a Feast of Fools t-shirt?
Well, you go to feastoffools.net, hit the little store button, and there you go, or the little icon that says t-shirt. It's right there.
And the shirt has kind of slimming.
It's healing properties.
Healing properties.
Yes. Like, oh, yes.
It makes you look fabulous.
It's the miracle shirt of the 21st century.
Because seriously, people, your financial support helps make this podcast possible. Mm-hmm. So by getting a Feast of Fools t-shirt or by simply contributing, you make the podcast come to life.
It happens because of you.
That's right. We want to thank everybody who listens to the show and tells our friends and family and the rabbis. The priests about the Feast of Fools podcast. Remember, the podcast you save might be your own.
Bye.
I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Get by.